Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Rob Greaves here, and thanks for joining Anita Monk and myself as we present the third and final part of her story. Anita was enamoured by music and singing harmonies from a young age. Her formative years were filled with joy and was constantly doing things with her parents and siblings. During the 1970s, she began working in the music industry and later the television industry, with media always being a focus of her life right through until today. In this, the final part of her story, we share in the trials and tribulations of getting Rockdown started and keeping it going. During its many years as a TV program, just about everybody who was anybody in the music industry appeared, with Mike Rudd of Spectrum Mercips as her first guest. And some of the amazing people who appeared subsequently included Johnny Chester, Normie Rowe, and Keith Podga from The Seekers. She shares with us the reason for the demise of Rockdown TV and how and why Rockdown Radio came into being. But there is much more to this amazing woman, and Anita shares her thoughts on some of the social issues that give her concern. Colin the dog makes his farewell appearance during part three, and we finish the program with a song written and performed by Anita. We pick up now with Anita talking about the financial aspects of producing her TV program, Rockdown.
I didn't have to spend a lot. I got a couple of sponsors, but it did cost me $4,000 for 13 episodes on Channel 31, so that's what I used my money on. Then after a while, thank goodness, they said you don't have to pay that anymore because I was obviously one of their best rating shows. So they just let me keep going, and I thought, I can't stop. I know this is taking up all my life. I've lost all my friends. They're all got their own bands. Because the music industry had started getting, but I couldn't play because I was, you know, I'd work at my brother's factory. I'd had to go get a day job. So I was working at my brother's factory, coming home at night and editing, and on the weekends editing and organising people for the next show. And this was basically 8 years of my life, just sort of went on the television show. But I thought it was important to do. It was just something that nobody else could. A couple of people have tried to do it afterwards, but I think I was just lucky. I was lucky that I got Wendy, and I was lucky that I got a format that just fell into place, and that was it.
What have been some of the most difficult things you've had to face in getting the show together? Like, for instance, before we started the interview, you were mentioning about your first one in an empty room, basically, with huge chairs. It looks silly.
Yes, well, I started off with Channel 31, and that was very good. They had a little studio out the back, and luckily, the guy who ran Channel 31 at that stage, Greg D, loved Rockdown. So we got the studio and a producer, and it was very cheap, and we could do it all there, and I'd get a mini DV tape. And I'd bring it home here, put it in my camera, transfer it in the computer, and it was basically there. Then they decided that they were going to start charging $400 a session. And I just went, I can't do that. So then I had to start looking for other venues. So this was the hardest. And not being a sound person, being a visual person, I didn't notice things like awful sound. So we went to Spencer's, and Matthew, the sound guy, walked in and said, Anita, can't you hear? They're building a building out the back. There's construction going on. I didn't notice. All I knew was it was a great stage. There were great lights. But there was bang, 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 crash, crash, crash going on out in the street, and I didn't even notice. So that lasted one set of episodes. It was three. I think it was Johnny Chester, Nisho Fitzgibbon, and somebody else, can't remember. Then I moved to another venue, and that was the one in Oakley with the chairs. And then I did a couple of others, and then Matthew said, listen, you've got a tiny little garage out the back of your house. How about I make that into a little studio? And that did so many episodes. The lighting wasn't great. The audio wasn't fantastic, but we made do and did everybody from Normie Rowe, Ross Wilson. They'd come to my house in Fairfield and sit out the back and make them a cup of tea. Then they'd come to my little studio where I'd have a line running from the microphone in through the house into my computer, which was on record.
So you're putting a lot of time, a lot of effort, and your own money into this. Who are some of the people then that have responded so positively?
Oh, look, everybody. It's been so good. I've made so many good friends out of this. Johnny Chester is just wonderful. I've spent a bit of time with Johnny Chester. He was really good. Mike Rudd, who I've always had, you know, being the first person to come on the show was just so important. Some people don't remember me from a bar of soap. Brendan Mason from Madalake, well, he's just awesome. And I can't get away from doing an interview on radio with him without him saying how wonderful I am. And I say, get off. Because you do what you have to do, you know. And it's nice that some people appreciate the fact that I did this. Because I love the fact now that, you know, we've got the Rockdown Gig Guide on Facebook. And all the people that we interview are now, you know, getting packed houses. I mean, yeah. It's a really, really, really good thing.
So for people listening, they can keep up to date with what's happening and work out who's on when by going to your Facebook page,
if they've got Facebook.
Which is Rockdown.
Yes, Rockdown. I've also got a Rockdown website, which I tried to keep up to date, but it sort of fell in a hole when my computer crashed and I lost all the files.
Oh, dear.
I know. So I've had to restart it, bring all the files back from the internet, put them back in again, and then try and work it out. And it's an old front page, Microsoft front page thing, which is long dead, so I have to try and make it up as I go along. And on the rockdown.com, and on that is a list of every person that's interviewed, a photo of them, a little blurb about them. And if they're on YouTube, if I've put the interview on YouTube, then there's a link to it. But I haven't put them all on YouTube. I never wanted to put them all on YouTube. But some of them just are, yeah.
Do you ever get any feedback from people?
No, not really. I don't know whether people know me for that. I mean, I was just the producer.
About the show, though.
Yeah, you get, you know, thank you very much. I really appreciate everything that you did. Mostly from punters, from fans, you know, that they really appreciate all the work that went into it. And especially when it was on Channel 31, you know, that was really good. I used to get a lot of feedback then about, you know, I never knew that about this person. Interestingly, Noel, who wrote the book about Australian Rock and Roll.
McGrath.
Interesting, Noel McGrath said to me one day, I thought I knew everything there was to know about Normie Rowe until I saw Rockdown. And I don't know if it was a Wendy interview or a Susie Pinder interview, but he said, they just bring new things out from who it was. You know, yes. They don't ask the stock standard questions. And you know all about that. You let people talk. You don't go, okay, that's it. Did you do this? Yes. Okay, did you do that? No. Okay, you've got to let people talk because then you'll get something interesting from them that nobody's heard before.
No, the essence of a good interview is the story that you want to be told, not your story, but the story of the person you're talking to.
Yeah.
So it's important to let them tell that story.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices. Turning back time.
How is Rockdown accessible now?
As much as I can on YouTube.
How can people see what's happening? Well, where do they go?
You can go on the internet. And you type in Google, you type in Rockdown YouTube. And Rockdown YouTube has got every interview that I've got put on Facebook is on there. There are other ones that aren't, like sometimes people would say, can I have a copy of that? I want to put it on my own YouTube channel, i.e. Keith Potka from The Seekers. Mm-hmm. And before I knew that, that was up to, you know, 50 million hits because he's a worldwide star.
Popular, yes. Yeah. What happened with Channel 31? Why did it finish? Did it just run its course or were there
Are you talking about issues? Lockdown with Channel 31 or just Channel 31?
Well, you said it was being shown through 31 for quite a while.
Yes.
What happened there?
Well, what happened with Rockdown was I basically ran out of people. You know, I did as many people as I could. I tried to show everybody that was had new material, which is what, to me, what it's all about. Not the covers, it's the new songs. I did free clips for anybody that I wanted to show because I needed content and people couldn't afford to have clips done.
Yes.
So I did a lot of free clips for people.
Yes.
And it got to the stage that I'd sort of covered everybody that I wanted to. There are people that I would have loved to have on that, for their own reasons, never wanted to. Yeah. And that was it.
So what are you doing with your time now then?
Well, I do.
Because you're not the sort of person that just sits back.
No. I'm recording another CD. I also do Rockdown Radio.
Right. Now, tell us about that.
Now, well, Rockdown Radio pretty much started when Rockdown Television started, when I realised how much new material was out there, new songs that weren't being played on commercial radio. So I thought, well, I may as well start. And when I first started, I got all the feeds from Universal distribution, so worldwide, whoever was playing. And there was an interesting little story there because pretty early in the piece, and it was probably pretty early in YouTube as well, and I got a release saying that Ringo Starr had a new CD. I went, oh, wow, that's great. And there's a new song, so I said, okay, I'd like to hear this song. So Universal sent me the song, so they send you the MP3. What a great song, Liverpool 8. So I rang EMI and I said, I would love a clip. And they said, oh, he hasn't done a clip. And I said, oh, what a shame, because I've got... And they said, what for? And I said, I've got a television show and I'm trying to get all the people that used to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if he's got a clip, I can show it on the television. 2 weeks later, I'm looking on YouTube, there's a clip of Liverpool 8. So I rang EMI and I said, there is a clip. Oh, yeah, there is too. And I said, well, may I have a copy of it, please? And they said, it'll cost you. And I said, fine. That's fine. I would like it. Oh, all right then. Well, and I said, what's your problem? And they said, listen, in Australia, the market's too small. We just don't market to people of your demographic. And that's it.
And that sums up the state of the bloody music industry, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It really does.
And that made me work extra hard. I said, I'm just going to keep doing this and working my bottom off to get around you people, because how dare you? I said to the girl, our older Australians were our biggest music consumers. They buy CDs. Said, no, I don't care. We want people to listen to, you know, whoever was on the top 40 in 2005. As if we're going to listen to those people.
No, we're not. We're not. And, you know, like yourself, I get around a lot of our generation, and that's the universal comic. No, I don't. And no, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not interested. It's rubbish. Now, whether or not we all have our opinions, there may be a lot of people out there that do like it.
Yes.
But there's an awful big generation that we come from that don't.
No.
And they're ignoring us.
No, because they think that they want us to just keep listening to old Master's Apprentice shows.
No, we don't want to listen. No. We enjoy it, but we want more.
Oh, exactly.
We want more.
Can I have some more Russell Morris, please?
Yes.
Can I have some more Brian Kemp, please?
Oh, look, I mean, you know, you mentioned you interviewed Mick Hamilton. Mick Hamilton bought out a CD with Keith Glass not that long ago. He's got a garage full of them because nobody would play it.
No. I know.
And you can multiply that through a whole lot of musicians.
I did the free clip, Rob.
Yeah,
just telling you.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to promote it. And I tell people, I say, thank you so much for doing this. I know it's probably not going to make money, but if more people do it, it's better. Do you know the really good thing I heard the other day? I interviewed Marty Roan. Marty Roan got told in America that they love his songs, They love the fact that he's stayed, that he's persisted, that he has worked so hard. Here's a green card, Marty Roan. We want you to record a CD and we'll pay for it. Thank you very much. Peter Tindall over in England has just been offered a record contract. These are people in their 70s.
Yep.
They're not being offered one in Australia.
No. We really are quite... have this cultural cringe issue, don't we?
Yes.
It's really bad.
Yes.
And yet anybody who's either enjoyed music, let alone played it, understands that the older you get, the more mature your music becomes. I mean, nobody said no to Muddy Waters and Howling Wolf and all those great blues people because they got old.
No.
They said more.
No.
Yet exactly. We don't. We don't want it.
No.
It's really strange.
It's our media.
Mm.
It's who's controlling the media and it's who's controlling the airwaves. When people talk about how much Rupert Murdoch owns, it's not what Rupert Murdoch owns, it's who owns the content that he's playing. And that's the important thing, because if you look on any top 40 chart these days, it says Universal, EMI, Warner's, Universal, somebody owns the content.
Hmm.
And they're not letting Australians be part of that content. Mm. And so we've been cut out of our own market.
It's both sad and it's more than sad in some ways. It's a disaster.
Oh, yes.
Because the soul of a nation is its art.
Absolutely.
And music is probably the most dominant art form in terms of providing to the people.
Yep.
What legacy are we leaving for the future generation? We have none because we're not recording it.
Yeah.
And that is a crime.
Yep, exactly.
And what do we do about it?
We are doing what we can do, Rob. You and I both do what we do.
A little bit at a time.
Yes. As somebody said to me one day, you take little steps, don't make them expensive steps. Now, for all the time that I put into Rockdown, I probably put in $40,000. That doesn't include time.
Of course not.
But to me, doing 130 episodes of a television show that cost me $40,000, I think that's pretty good use of money.
And it will survive.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It will survive.
Absolutely.
We've looked, and quite appropriately, looked and talked about a lot about music and a lot of the elements of music. But you're an Australian, you're a human being. There must be other things going on around you that sometimes concern you. If you were to look at the way this world is going, where Australia's going, do you have any concerns for future generations?
Children, yes. I love the way that I was brought up. I didn't know what was going on in the world around me. These are the things that you learn. I always thought that the children that I went to school with were all as happy and had such loving families as I did.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I was 18 and started hearing about children that were abused by their parents, that were sexually abused by their fathers or their uncles, because I'm one of these people that people talk to. They open up to you and then they go, I've never told anybody that. Mm. That's okay. Mm. I don't go around telling blabbing. I'm just somebody that people talk to. And the home, the way you're brought up, the way that you're... children are not naive anymore. They're exposed to too much. It was bad enough what we were exposed to when we were children. These days children are exposed to much, much, much more. And that's the thing that worries. And I never had kids, but I look... So I've never been in a situation where my kids were my universe. Just my dog. In universe.
Who's behaving at the moment?
That's because I've got my hand on him.
Well, that's sleeping dog's life.
Yes, so I've always looked around at other people's children and I've tried to work out why they are the way that they are. And that children should be at home, being kept away from things that are going to upset them in their young age, because when they get to 16, 17, then they'll start learning, but they're mature enough to understand. Yeah.
Yes, children are exposed to things at an age where they just can't really understand, it must have an effect.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. That's the worst.
Listen to older voices. Ageless Radio.
Do you have any issues with the way things are environmentally?
I've always been a bit of a greenie, but not being a greenie. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you went out to my kitchen, we have a tub in the sink. We have buckets under every tap, so if you wash your hands, that water goes out on the garden. We don't use the hose. You know, I've never been like that. I've tried to save. Trees are important to me. I hate the way that trees are pulled down for houses every day. I think that's awful. Animals are being driven out of areas. We're losing our wildlife, that sort of thing. That's what worries me the best. I think that's the grassroots of environment to me, trees and animals.
Look, our time is almost up. But I guess one final question I would like to put to you. You've been on this planet during some amazingly big changes. The decades that you and I have lived through, the changes have been incredible. What have been some of the biggest changes that have actually impacted upon you that you've can look back and go, wow, that was fairly monumental?
No. Life just goes on. I just absorb, Rob.
I absorb. You adapt? Are you adaptable?
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes takes me a while. Like technology took me a while. Even though I was working with technology back in the 80s, I was on computers back in the 80s, I never understood what they were doing. Somebody would just say, do this, push that button, push this one, write it all down. And then you type this in there, and there you go, because I was a data processor for a long time. So as long as I could just put numbers and stuff into computers, but, you know, it just became part of my life. Can't think of anything that went bang.
Okay. Look, short of that bus down the road accidentally knocking you over one day, you've still got quite a few years left in your life. You're still a vital woman.
Yep.
And you've got many years left. What would you like to do with the rest of your life if you could?
I wrote a song about this. Gone but not forgotten. Everybody wants to be remembered. Some people get to the end of their lives and they go, oh, I'm dying. Oh, are people going to remember me? And they haven't really done anything. You know, they make a big hoo-ha about dying and big headstones and, you know, I've written a book about my life and la, la, la. I would just like to go and somebody to go, oh, she helped musicians, whatever. You know, you want to be remembered for something. That's all. And you just keep going till you die, Rob. I'd love to have a hit single. That's what I'd love.
Well, you've still got enough years for that.
Absolutely. Because even though people say, yes, but look at your age, all the people who go out and see bands these days are our age, Rob. Exactly.
Anita, thank you very much for being on the program. It's been an absolute delight talking with you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Colin.
Oh, pest.
And now the track Gone But Not Forgotten, written and performed by Anita, which is a work still in progress. Thank you.
are for friends. No one's gonna cry at the end.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.